Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in the Sechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKedesh, is daf Lamed Hey, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah, right near the top of the daf. Mashbia on Yalechen. So we're going to have some cases over here in which there would not be any chiyuv, even though it sounds like Eidos, there won't be a chiyuv for any korban of Shavuos Eidos. And that's simply because, remember that there's only a chiyuv if there is an enforceable Eidos. That if this Eidos comes to court, the court will be able to actually collect cash. So, for instance, suppose somebody says to his witnesses, I want you to come to court and testify that this no good Nick promised that he was going to give me $1,000 and he never paid up. Because if you cannot collect on that basis, the fact that a guy promised to give you money doesn't mean that you can collect it from him. In this case, such as a real tiyat mamon that you can recover, like a pikadon, which we learned out from the list in the Shavuos HaPikadon. Another case which is similar. So over here, you're not claiming that the people know testimony at this point, but you think that they're going to be involved in business deal that is going to have to do with you, and therefore you make them swear in advance. As soon as you guys know anything that has to do with my case, I want you to come in and testify, and I'm mashbia you. In this case, even if they were mekabel the shvua, since they didn't know anything at that time, because it hadn't even taken place, the whole lashon of the shvua is always in terms of, in the pasuk, is always in terms of who aid o yada o ra'a. In other words, he had seen it already. He was an aid at that time. But not that you're mashbiyim in advance that the chiyuv should take place. Case number three. Amad bebet hakneset v'yamar. So he stands up there in shul and he says to everybody, mashbiyane elechem she'im atem yadim le'edut she'tavo v'taiduni. You are not going to be chayiv in that case, as we'll see, obviously, the chiddush is, even if the edim actually are in that group, but you weren't miyachid the edim. He has to be actually mechavin directly to his witnesses, and we're going to see that in the Gemara. It's going to darshan it, or the price really is going to darshan it from the pasuk. Case number four. Omar lishnayin mashbia anei alechem ish ploni uploni. And they say, and they did know edut. The problem is that the edut that they knew was not really usable edut. Because the edut that they knew was, let's say, aid me pi aid. So they had heard from other witnesses who had seen the event. That is not considered to be kosher edus and will not be usable in court. So therefore, it also is not included in the Shavuos Eidos. Remember, it has to be edus that brings about recoverable cash. Or, let's say they know real edut, but they wouldn't be accepted as edim in court because maybe they're a korov, one of them is a korov, or one of them is an eid posel. So in that case, since the edus wouldn't have been usable, therefore, there's no chiyuv, even if they denied knowing edus. Case number five, and this is the case that we had before, shalach biyad avdo, osha amar lehem hanitba, we've had this several times in the past, he sends someone else, so he sends his evet to chase after them. Or maybe the actual guy that he was suing says to his edim, that is to say the claiming edim, look, I would never want to take money that doesn't belong to me. If you know any kind of testimony for this guy, I'm being mashbia you to come to court right now and save me from being over on taking money that's not mine. That's not considered to be a Shvuas HaEdes. It has to be from the person himself, and if not, even if they make such a Shvuah, it wouldn't be a din of Shvuas HaEdes, and it may be another kind of Shvuah that you're chayav for. Harei elu piturin, there's no korban al v'yored here, ad sheyishmu mipi ha-toveya, they have to hear it directly from him, as we'll see again, that this is from the pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, Mashbi'ani aleichem im lo tavo v'teyiduni, shamar ish ploni litemi matayim zuz v'lo natan. So Bryce is going to give the basis of these various dinim in the Mishnah. So the first thing that we had is that somebody makes a person swear Shvuas HaEdes to come for testifying that somebody had made a promise to give him money and he didn't give it. Yocho yucha yavim. Remember that we have our famous Gezeira Shava that we've been relying on, from which we can learn all the dinim of Shvuat HaEdut from Shvuat HaPikadon, or maybe not all the dinim. Remember, that was a question of whether we would also override the Techta Techta because of the question of the Venelam, or because of the question of Limo Mal, and maybe some of the inyanim would be learned out of Me'ila, fine. But certainly this halacha we learn out, that just like it says, Techeta, Legabe Shvuas HaEdes, and it says also, Nemar Lahalon, Legabe Shvuas HaPikadon, Techeta. Ma Lahalon B'tviat Mamon, just like the Torah speaks out very clearly, all of the different cases, that you would be Chayav Shvuas HaPikadon, that is Techeta, and they're all Mamon Tviot. So too Avkan b'tviat mamon. Just like there's tviat mamon, and there is, in fact, a real tviat mamon, meaning that had they testified, there would have been recoverable money. It wasn't just that the guy was making up some kind of, suit that didn't have a chance of success. Avkan, so here too, Lagabe, the Shvuas HaEdes, it's the same thing. There has to be a Tviat Mamon, and it's a real one, V'yeshlo, that there is actually money that is recoverable, and they didn't testify. The next case in the Mishnah, the Braita explains how we know it. Mashbi'ani alechem kishetede uli edut. So there we said, somebody makes a Shvuah, when you will know edut for me, I want you at that point to come forward and to testify for me. And they're supposed to have them accept this in advance. That is not mechayev of them. And how do we know that? So turn her up on it. Mashbi ani alechem kishetedu liyedut shetavo v'shetaduni. I want you to come when you find out. Yochu yulchayavim. So you might think that that would be mechayev of you. Talmud lomar v'sham akol alava hu ed ora'a o yada. It says clearly in the pasuk that at the time that he would show Mea the Kol Allah, he was already an aid. Who aid Oyada? So then, if he was already an aid, at that point, the Shvuah would be Chal. But to make the Shvuah before he was the aid, that not. Mi shekadma, edut v'shvuah, v'lo shekadma, shvuah la'edut. It only works in the event that the aidus was there at the time of the Shvuah, not in advance. Next case. This was case number 3. So it's said in the Mishnah, the guy stands up in shul, and he says, listen, anybody here that knows Edus for me, I want you to be coming into court. That's not considered to be a Shvuas HaEdus. And this is Afilu, says Shmuel. Omar Shmuel, this is Afilu Edav Benihem. We're talking about, of course, even in a case where the people that he's addressing include his Edim. They really are there. But he hasn't been miyachid as Edim. Well, I mean, obviously, otherwise, what possible thing is the Mishnah saying? If there were no Edim there, I mean, what are you swearing the Eitzim Vavanim to be made for you? Of course they're there. No, point of Shmuel is saying that even if the guy is standing right next to his Edim, so he's koi alayu, he's right there at the side. Now, it's okay, so say, all right. For all intents and purposes, this guy is really saying who the Edom are. He doesn't want to embarrass them publicly or whatever. But he really means to address them directly. So you would think, Ma'udatima, that in speaking next to a particular person, and you pretend that you're speaking to the entire group, but that that really is actually addressing him. No. That since there was nothing in what he said that was mashma, that he's being miyachid the Eidim, just the mere position of standing near the Eidim and saying, if anybody knows testimony, that's not called Yichud HaEidim. And in fact, Tanya Nami Achi. Ra'as Yesha B'nei Adam Omdim Ve'edav B'neim. A guy sees a bunch of people standing there, and his witnesses are in that group. So he says to them, Mashbi'eni Alechem, Im Atem Yodim Li Eidu Shetavo Veta Iduni, Yochu Yuchayavim. So if he gives this general statement, and he says, look, you guys, you should come and be made for me, if you know anything. Talmud Omar, V'hu Eid. V'hu Eid means that he was pointing to someone who was an aid. And not that he says from afar, Mashbi'eni Aleichem. V'hare lo yichyad Eidav. He did not, in this case, in any way point out a particular witness. But you might think that if he did, so let's say that he says, Kol ha'omdim kan. So he talks about right here, next to me. Even if he said that, that everybody who is standing here, that that also means that he's not addressing the people that he's next to. Talmud Lomar, who ate? And he said exactly who he's talking to. Kol ha'omdim kan. So that's the point. He must be standing next to them, and that's the Chiddush of Shmuel. If he didn't say Kol ha'omdim kan, he just said, whoever knows testimony, that's not considered to be Yichud Eidav. But otherwise, it would be considered to be Yichud Eidav. Omar Lishnai. So suppose he says, this is now case number 4. So Omar Lishnai. Mashbi'ani Alechem, and indeed they know Eidas, but maybe it was Eid Mipi'ein, maybe they were Kroivim, maybe they were Psulim. So anyway, we wouldn't have taken their Eidus into court. So now, once again, let's take a look at the Mekeres of this halacha, which the Braita now describes. So, Tana Rabbana. Amar Lishnayim Mashbi'ani Alechem Ploni Uploni, Imatem Yodim Le'idu Chetavo V'teiduni, Ve'im Yodim Lo'idu. So far this sounds like a classic. Wow, okay. You can't get a better Shvuas Eidus than this one. Ah, but there was a slight problem. The problem was that the Eidus that they knew was Eid Mipi Eid, or perhaps Ayachad Mim Korov, or Pasul, Yochu Yuchayavim, Talmud Lomar, Im Lo Yagid, V'nasa Avono. So Dafka, if there's a Haggadah, Im Lo Yagid, Yagid is a very special word that refers to the Haggadah of Eidus. And therefore, it's talking specifically to them. Im Lo Yagid. If there's nothing to be Yagid, so then it would not count. And in this case, there was no Yagid. Ru'uyin la Haggadah. There has to be a specific ru'uyin to the din of Eidus. And case number 5, where Shalach B'yad Avdo, we have to hear the tvi'ah for the shvuah from the man himself, not from somebody that he sends. So Tana Rabbana, Shalach B'yad Avdo, or perhaps it was even the nidbah, who was a very honest man, and he says, you know, if any of you guys know for my opponent over here, you know any kind of testimony, please, I'm begging you, come forward. This mashbiyat doesn't matter. That is not mechayimah. Mashbiyani alechem shimatem yodim li edut shetavo v'teiduhu. You might think that in such a case, that is a shvasa edas, yichayim, your korbanot v'yerei talmud lomar im lo yagid v'nasa avono. Heh? What? What does that pasuk have to do with what you're trying to prove? You're trying to prove that it has to be the guy himself. What are you bringing me a pasuk in Lo Yagid? My Talmud. Omar Rabbi Elazar, oh, this is a really sneaky one. Im Lo Yagid Ksiv. Notice that the pasuk is spelled Lamed Vav Aleph. So therefore, it contains both Lo, Lamed Aleph, if he won't, and Lo, to him. So that's the point. Im lo lo yagid, if he won't say to the guy himself, ah, that's the honest. What a beautiful drasha. So if he won't say to him, im lo lo yagid v'nasa avona, but to somebody else, im la'acher lo yagid, then there's no din of v'nasa avona. Which brings us to the cue to our slightly slow Capitan. The cue to our slightly slow, perhaps very slow.
Slow, very tired.
You are not inspiring confidence. The whole point of the Capitan is that he inspires confidence, excitement, clarity.
Just like what's going on around us.
You know, your problem is that you live near your kids. And that one of your kids is in a ridiculous position. That's the problem. If you want to stay healthy, Rich, I'd advise you to move up near me. I'll keep you healthy. All right. Well, we'll take what we can get today. All right. Cool it, Rich. We need help. We don't need people to smear our faces in. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, since none of the youngsters are here, I don't know what happened to Doc today. I mean, I was going to call on him after hearing the way you sound, but we don't have any of the youngsters, so we'll have to take you. Mashpieni alechem, mitzave anelechem. So now, for the first time, we want to talk about the actual language that passes for a shvua. Now, this actually raises some serious issues that are big machlokes among the Rishonim about, in general, the dinim of shvuas, which have to do with whether does a shvua have to have the Shem Hashem? Can it use a kinui of the Shem Hashem? What is considered to be a Shem Hashem? Etc. So all of this, which is actually in terms of the halacha, is a very complex sugya that comes all the way down to questions of whether you should write Baruch Hashem on top of a letter, you know, or whether that is considered to be something that then you wouldn't be allowed to destroy the letter, and all those kinds of questions that everyone has. And are you allowed to say ginger ale? This is the other question, you know, maybe you have to say ginger kale, and those type of issues. Don't laugh. These are serious, very serious shavuos and tshuvos. I ain't kidding. So, can you say Tzuri Shadoi? Can you talk about a name that has the shame of Hashem in it? Can you say even to Shmu, Shmuel? Or do you have to call him Shmu, only Shmu? All of those type of things are the question. And if you're calling Shmuel, Shmuel, can you mention Chanina? Or do we say that that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Chanun? All to be seen in the Gemara. So, guy uses a lashon of shvua, mashpieni alechem, or mitzave ani alechem, or oserchem ani. In all of these cases, now, starts to make sense. I mean, how is oserchem ani, a lashon of shvua, all to be explained in the Gemara? Hare ilu chayavim, if they lie and they say, we don't know any eders. How about if you say, we swear by heaven and earth, but if they use the name of Hashem that's spelled Aleph Dalet, the Shem of Ador Shem that people say, or B'yud Kei, you have the Shem Amyuchad, Yud Kei Vav Kei, or Shakai, or Tzvaot, or Chanun, Rachum, Erech Hapayim, Rav Chesed, and any other kinui, even though these are not really shemot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to aser erasing them and things like that, but they are considered to be a shvua and a reilu chayovim. And suppose you would be mekalel b'kulam, suppose you would use these for being mevorach as Hashem. You would be chayiv, so holds Rabbi Meir. Whereas the chachomim say, no, you're only going to be chayiv on the Kolala. If you use, and here's referring to what name you're being Mekalel, not what name you're using to be Mekalel, as we'll see. So the Chachomim say you're Potter unless you're Mevorech the Shem HaMiuchad. HaMekalel Aviv V'Imo. Suppose you use any of these names to say a Kolala on a father or mother, you would be Chayev according to Rabbi Meir. And here too, Chachomim Potrim, and they say that when the Torah describes, we'll see the Limud, that it means Dafka the Shem HaMiuchad. How about someone who's Mekalel Atzmo V'Chaviro B'Chulam? You would be over on a Lotasef for being Mekalel yourself or a friend. Again, the Gemara is going to go through all of the Mekoras and the Psukim that tell us these halacha. Now suppose the guy says to the people that he wants them to be made for him, he says, God should be Mekalel you and hit you and destroy you if you don't come and testify for me. So he uses the Shem Hashem Elokim. Or he says, Yakechem Elokim. In these cases, so let's say he says in the case of they're in the middle of hearing in the shul, you know, somebody is leaning, right? So he's leaning all of the tochacha. And these guys say, yes, that's what should happen to you. V'chein, to you too, you know? So is that considered to be v'shama kol Allah? Because, I mean, there is somebody who is reading the alot. So that is considered to be the Allah hakituva b'torah, because it says v'shama kol Allah. And over here in the Chumash it says, Alot habrit, kechol alot habrit. So that means if somebody says that should be what befalls you, so then that is the Allah. Suppose he makes a indirect reference to the Allah. So he says to the Edom, he says, Al yakecha, you know, if you come into Bezdin for me, you should not suffer any of these curses, you know. Or if you come in and give edus for me, then God will bless you. Or Yetivacha, which is Mashma, and if you don't, then all of this should happen to you. So Rabbi Meir says, even an oblique reference is considered to be an Allah, and therefore he's Mechayev. V'chachamim, Potrim. So let's go through all these halachas. The guy says, according to the Mishnah, Mashbi'ani Aleichem. So what exactly does Mashbi'ani Aleichem mean? I mean, it's swearing what? With what? Do you say God should do something? Or what are you really saying when you say Mashbi'ani Aleichem or Osrani Aleichem? Amar Rav Yehuda, what he's saying is, in all of these cases, the Mishnah is saying Mashbi'ani Aleichem b'shvu'ah ha'amura b'torah. If he uses the words Mashbi'ani Aleichem, but he says, I mean the shvu'ah that the Torah uses, or Mitzave'ani Aleichem, Bitzava'ah amura v'torah, o aserchemani alechem bi'isura amur v'torah. So since we find the Torah discussing lesor isor al nafsho, or we find in the potzik with the lashon of tziva, where it talks about all of the dinim of shvuah, so it says elachukim asher tziva Hashem ben ish lishto ben av lebito. So then that means he's making a reference to the shvuah that the Torah considers to be a chalos of shvuah, and that would be enough to be mechayev you. Now, the Mishnah then says, if you use the words Aleph Dalet, or Yudke Vavke, or Shakai, or Tzvakot, or Chanun, Rachum, or Chapayim, Rav Chesed, wait a second over here. Are you telling me that Chanun v'Rachum are actually considered to be Shemot Hashem, or what, and you wouldn't be allowed to erase them? For Aminu, take a look at the Braita that specifically says that that is not the case. For Aminu, Yesh Shemot Shenimchakim, Yesh Shemot Sheinam Nimchakim. Look, there are Shemot that people will be using to refer to God, but you're allowed to erase them anyway. And then there are other Shemot that you're not allowed to erase. Now we're going to actually talk about each one of those Shemot. So the question over here is this Shvua Ha'amura Batorah that we just said, before we get to the Braisa, did that mean that there was no reference to Hashem, just to that word, Tzivor, or Lasor Isar, and so on? The Rambam Paskins, and that's certainly the way that Rashi is mashma over here, and the Ravid agrees, actually, that in all of these cases, the Gemara is taking for granted that he actually had mentioned a shame of Hashem. Masha Inkin, many of the other Rishonim, including the Baal HaMor and the Ritva and the Rashba, they say that the whole mashmaot of the sugya is that by utilizing the reference in the Torah, where over there the Torah was specifically addressing a shvua that had a din of shvua, that you don't need, if you use the shvua akos of the Torah, that's havo akos of the Torah, you don't need to actually mention a shame. That's the whole pashtus of the sugya, according to the... Fine, so that's one very fundamental machlokas. Now here, the question of chanun, barachum. It says in the Braita, Elu hein shemot she'ein nimchakim. Let's make a list of all of the shemot that cannot be erased. So that would include El, Elokecha, Elokim, Elokechem, or the Shem of Ekyah, Sher Ekyeh, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when Moshe Rabbeinu asks him, what's your name? And he says, Ekyeh, Sher Ekyeh, so, okay, so then that is the response of a Shem. Or how about the Shemot like Aleph Dalet, or the Shemot of Yudke Vovke, or Tzvakot? All of those cases are real Shemot, and it's an Isser D'oraisa to be mochik them because Lotasun came Hashem Elokechem, and they're all included. The other Shemot of Yudke alone, Ko, or Eloka. So those are also in the Rambam, apparently was his Lashon, because he brings those separately. But to say Hagadol, so, okay, Akel HaGadol, Akibor, those are not considered to be Shemot that are not Nimchokim. So you say HaGadol, or HaGibor, or HaNora, or HaAdir, Chazak, HaAmitz. Now these are all Kinuyim that are mentioned in various Psukim throughout Tanakh, and therefore you might think that they're also literal Shemot, HaIzuz, Chanun, Rachum, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed. These Shemot are not usher to be mochek, but they are considered to be a shame in terms of the Shvuas, is what the Mishnah seems to be saying. But why, if you're allowed to erase them, why would they actually be considered to be a Loshon of Shvua? Amar Abaye, the Mishnah did not mean to say that the shame itself is considered to be a shvua. The Mishnah is talking about where someone referred to that existence that is so chanun. So the compassionate being is what it's talking about. The rachum, the one who has love, that being. Well, if that's what it means, so then, Bashamayim Va'aretz should also be included. The guy swears Bashamayim Va'aretz. Doesn't that mean if to that being who encompasses or who owns the Shamayim Va'aretz, right? So why, I mean, isn't that what the Mishnah would mean if it's putting it all together? No. We're assuming that the meaning is innate in the use. Doesn't mean that he actually said that. It means that what is understood contextually by what he's saying. Because what would a person say? By love, I will not testify for you. Why is that? By love? Obviously, by he who is love, right? But if you say Shamayim Va'aretz, so then there is such a thing called Shamayim Va'aretz. So then why would we say that contextually he's not referring to that Shamayim Va'aretz? I mean, like, you know, that's the most real thing I know. By heaven and earth. That could mean really heaven and earth. So, Achiyash. Awesome, where you're using Rachum or Chanun. There's no entity who is known as Rachum V'chanun. So he must have meant contextually by he, by that being who is Chanun, or that being B'mishu Rachum Ka'omar. But in the case that he said by Shamayim V'aretz, Kivan De'ika Shamayim V'aretz, there is an entity that is called Shamayim V'aretz. So why would it not be referring to that entity? He must have meant really by Shamayim V'aretz. Suppose he was going to write a shem, and he wrote only the Aleph and the Lamed from the name Elohim that he intended to write, or he wrote only the Yud and the He from the shem of Yudke Vovke. He's not allowed to erase those letters because those letters are themselves a different shem, even though that wasn't the shem he wanted to write, but he did write Ka, or he did write Kel, and his kavana was for Ksivas Kedusha. So because of that, it was Miskadesh, and you're not allowed to erase it. But if you just wrote, let's say, Shin Dalet from the same Shakag, or Aleph Dalet from the Shem of Adot Shem, or Tzadik Beis from the Shem Tzvakot. So those can be erased because what you wrote does not spell anything that resembles the Shem Hashem. I mean, in one case you wrote a shade, in the other one you wrote a turtle, in the other one you wrote a cloud. I mean, that's not a Shem of Hashem, and therefore there's no Isser. Rabbi Yossi Omer, as far as I'm concerned, that name that you keep listing of Tzvakot is not to be pronounced Tzvakot, it's pronounced Tzvaot, and it is not the name of God, and you can erase the entire shame that you're calling a shame, because the word Tzvaot is always a reference to Yisrael, not to Hashem. If it's a reference to Hashem, it's always Elohim Tzvakot or something like that. Hashem Tzvakot. But when you just say Tzvaot, that just means my people, essentially. Hotzeiti et tzivotai et ami b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. So you see that that's the meaning of the Tzvaot. Omar Shmuel, ein halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, and in fact, you're not allowed to erase Tzvaot, and that is the way the Rambam paskens. However, there is another girsa that has halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Okay, we don't pasken like that. Tana Rabbana, kol hatafel Hashem. So if you have something that is secondary to the Hashem, whether it's a prefix or whether it's a suffix, so bein milafanav, bein milaacharav, the prefix and suffix are erasable. What do I mean when I say lefanav? So suppose you're writing the pasuk of la Hashem or le Elokim or whatever. So then the lamed would be nimchak. If you're writing ba Hashem, the beis is nimchak. Vehashem amare vav is nimchak. Me Hashem, the mem is nimchak. She Hashem, the shin is nimchak. Ha Hashem, the yud, the he is nimchak. Ka Hashem Elokeinu, the chof is nimchak. And what about, we said, in the case where it's li'acharav, there, ketzad, Elokeinu, the nu is nimchak, because it's the Eloka that is the shin. Elokehem, the hem is nimchak. Elokehem, the chem is nimchak. Whereas acherim emrim, li'acharav eino nimchak shekvar kitcho Hashem. If it comes before, so then the shame has not as yet begun, and the mela, it's not nitfal to the shame to become kodesh. But if it follows, you've already said Eloa, and now it's Elokeinu, that is already kodesh because it's bottled to the shem that came afterwards. Omer Avuna, indeed halachaka achirim, and it is usur to erase the nu or the hem or the chem that we talked about before. Now, there's a lot of places in the Torah where it's not at all clear whether we're talking about chol or we're talking about Kodesh. Let's talk about the case, for instance, Avram Avinu, right? So he sees these malachim, and he talks to them in Parshas Vayera, and he says, Adonai Now, he's talking to these visitors, and he uses the word Adonai. Is that a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it Mr., Master, my Master? A nice way of addressing someone who looks very chashuv. What's the din over there? Well, any shemot that we find in the parsha of Avram Avinu, those are all kadesh, except for the shem that it says, looks like it's saying Hashem's name, but it's actually talking to this individual, to Michael, as it turns out, and he was addressing the Gadol Shebehem, and he called him Adonai, or Adoni. Chanina ben Achi, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah both quote Rabbi Elazar HaModa'in, Af ze Kodesh. I disagree. Avram Avinu was not talking to Michael. He was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You forget the case. The case was that Avram was in the middle of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who had appeared to him, Vayera Elav Hashem, and then these malachim appear. And so what he was doing is asking Rishus from Hashem, Al Notavor, please don't leave me, because I know it's not very polite for me to be turning away from you and bringing in these guests, but please wait until I get back from my guests. Whoa. Okay, so then he is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Keman ozod yom revyun amarav gedolach nasat orchim yoter miakbalat pnei hashchina. That's exactly what that means. This is what Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i was saying, that if Avram Avinu told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could you please wait until I get back? That's unbelievable. So that shows that the Kabbalas Bnei Orchim was actually greater than the Kabbalas Bnei Shechina. He was in the middle of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turns aside and says, please wait for me. Wow. So clearly, Koto Azug, that was going like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua, who were quoting Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i, and will have Gavi give our very best thanks and regards to Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i in case he gets there today for this wonderful Gemara. So let's go to Azuk. Now, how about in the story of Lot, where the same Elohim come to Lot? And he also says, Al na Adonai. Is that addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is that addressing the Malachim? Now, this is a very strange Gemara, because there's not a single other shame in that old story. So it says all of the shemot except for this one, that's the only one there is. So, I mean, obviously, it's sort of like Agav. And it's once we're talking about cases where there was more than one shame, so we mentioned already the same shame in the story of Lot, even though it's the only one that we're talking about. So,
in the different relationships, contrasting Avram's mentioning a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lot's land of.
Yeah, yeah. And according to Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i, yeah. So by Lot, all of them are not Kodesh, except according to the way that we could read it, is actually the one that is Kodesh, because it says two different things there. There it says, Vayomer Lot Aleihem. So here, he's speaking to them, Aleihem, and then he says, Alna Adonai. So look at what he says to that Alna. Hinei na matza avdecha chen be'enecha. Vatigdal chazdecha sherasita imadi lahachayot et nafshi. Do we really believe that Lot, who was a Talmud Muvak of Avram Avinu, that he would address a Malach and he would say to a Malach that you gave me life? I mean, the one thing for sure he knows is all about Avodah Zarah. He would never say you gave me life. So if he says to them, you gave me life, he's obviously needs to be talking about Mi sheyesh biyado lahamit lahachayot. It's Dafka talking to whom? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only one who actually could give you life. So therefore, you have to split up the posik. First, Vayomer Lot Aleihem. Yes, he spoke to the Malachim, and he said, Al, please don't talk like that. Then he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Hashem. So therefore, the what looks like the Adonai, Dafka, is Kodesh in this case, even though it seems he's talking to these malachim. Now, we've got other cases where we have Shemot that were listed by people that were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and contextually, it seems very strange to view them as real Shemot Hashem, and therefore the Gemara wants to go through them. So let's say when it comes to the story of Navot. Now the whole story of Navot, remember, is that Achav wants to take his vineyard, and Izebel is interested in having her hubby, sweet little hubby Achav, that he should be able to have that vineyard. So he sends this message to Navot, even though this is Navot's Yerusha, and that he wants to have the Kerem of Navot. Now, the whole thing turns out to be as Yizevel gets rid of Navot because he refuses to sell, and she accuses him of having cursed God and brings him to court for cursing God and so on. So the question is, I mean, she is the supporter of Baal and other Avodah Zarah. So when she refers to God, like, what is this God that she's referring to? So let's take a look a little bit at the psukim so that we can hear where we're misupik, right? So Navot says to Achav, Chalila li me'ashem mititi et nachalat avotai lach. And so Izebel hears, and he's in a terrible mood, Achav. He refuses to eat supper that night. He's pouting. What a chutzpah. The guy refuses to sell me. He goes to sleep without supper. Oh my gosh, Achav is suffering. So Izebel, of course, comes to his side. He turns his face aside. Oh, I will not eat supper. Okay. So she speaks to him. You know, what happened? He says, this is what happened. So she says, don't worry about a thing. I'll handle this. And so it says over there that she writes the Svarim, she sends it to the Sekinim, and it says over there that she accuses him, and Kir'ut Son, and they bring witnesses that they paid off, Beirachta Elohim v'melech, and they kill him. And so, what is this Elohim that she was shalachat to them? So they were made, another pasuk, Beirach Navot Elohim v'melech. And sure enough, this is like, it keeps repeating these Elohims. So those Elohims in Navot are actually all chol. That means the Shemot of Elohim are chol. But the Pashtas, any Shemot that have to do with Yudke Vovke, this is a machlokas, because actually there is some utaina that even Yudke Vovke could be a reference in some of these cases to Avodah Zarah, such as the case of Micha that we're about to see. So Benavot, it says over here that they're all Kodesh, and by Micha, they're all Chol. Now, all Chol would have to include the opening Shemot, which is where Mami is talking about the Kodesh Lashem. She's giving this money to her wonderful son, and he's going to be making these trafim. So those are chol. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer Omer, I agree that Benavot it's Kodesh. But for Micha, it depends. Yesh mehem chol, v'yesh mehem kodesh. So as I mentioned to you, it could be that everybody is made there, that those opening psukim about my wonderful boy, where she says, v'tomer yimo, hakadeshi kadashi et hakesef to yudke vovke, it says over there, miyadilivni, that is a big machlokas about whether even that is included or that no. And we never find yudke vovke ever. It's a Shem HaMiyuchad. That's why it's called the Shem HaMiyuchad. It's a reference specifically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, by Navot, Yesh Me'am Chol, Yesh Me'am Kodesh. So, wherever we find Aleph Lamed, so all of the Shemot of Elokim, Elokei, whatever, those of the Aleph Lamed, those are Elohims, those are Avodah Zarahs. The Yud K are always Kodesh, according to Rebbe Eliezer, is actually a reference to Yud K Vav K. So she wants to be Kodesh as if it's Kodesh to Hashem. And the other Shemot, except for one, where it says Aleph Lamed, and meaning the whole Shem Elohim, and it is Kodesh. And that is at the end of the story, where it says that Micha's were done, it set up Peso Micha, it stood Kol Yimei Hayot Beta Elohim. That Beta Elohim is a reference to Mishkan Shiloh, and that's a reference, obviously, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we had other Shemos. Weird story, remember, in Pelegish Begiva. And they keep talking about having asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says, Vayakumu, Vayalu Beit El, Vayishalu Be Elohim. And they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who should be Eilo Betchila LaMelchama? And it says, Vayomer Hashem, Yehuda Betchila. And then it says, Vayalu B'nei Yisrael Vayivku Lifnei Hashem. Ada Erev, and again, Vayishalu Bashem Lemor, Vayomer Hashem, Alu Elav. Now, the reason that we're very suspicious about all of this is because they got the wrong answer. I mean, would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have told them a lie? Go and fight? I mean, and then they're wiped out? I mean, like, tens of thousands of people are killed because of this nonsense, and it's all based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, that he told them. Is that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is this a reference to some kind of idol? So Rebbe Eliezer says, well, it's got to be Chol. And Rebbe Yeshua says, no, it's Kodesh. Omar Rebbe Eliezer, how can you say it's Kodesh? I don't understand what that means. They asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he lied to them? V'chi maftiach ve'ino oseh? How could you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told them to go up to be killed? Omelo Reb Yeshua, I beg your pardon? Mavshiv Tiachasa? I understand. He never said you're going to win. They only asked him who should go up. So fine. Ve'im lo bichanu, im linitzoach, im linatzer. I mean, would have made more sense if they would have asked, well, will we win or will we lose? But they never bother asking that. They are so convinced of the rightness of their approach that it doesn't even occur to them to ask, should we go up to win or should we go up to lose? Well, if you want to be stupid and you ask the questions of the Urim V'Tumim according to your own das, you get the answer that is suitable for your own das. Fine. You want to know who should go up first to get the hell whacked out of them? Yehuda should go up first. I'm like, why didn't you ask? Oh, dear me. Now you're all crying and, oh, now you're asking me, will you win? Why didn't you say so? I had no idea. Oh, boy. You better be careful at what it is that you ask to the Urim V'Tumim. But in the end, Bachrona, the third time that they went up. So obviously they did ask. And over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them at the last time, he said to them, Bachrona Shebichanu, when they did ask, will we win? So he said, Beferish, this time I can go up, and this time I'm going to be Mosram Biyadecha. But Enochinami, they got what they asked for. So there is Kimu Ayada, Shneemar, Upinchas ben Alazar ben Aaron, Omeid lefanav bayamim ahem lemor, Haosif od latzeit lemilchama im bnei binyamin achi im erdal. And at that point, Enochinami, the answer comes to them that they should go up, and Aluki Macharet Neno Biyadecha. Tomorrow I'm going to actually let you win, now that you ask. Now the question is, we know that Shlomo, Chazal tell us in terms of drushes, so Shlomo is the Melech Shashalom Shalom. So we talk about Bamelech Shlomo, that's actually a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So indeed, Kol Shlomo, Ha'amurim B'Shir HaShirim are Kodesh. Now, this doesn't mean it's Kodesh, at least according to almost all of the Rishonim. There is one Shita that seems to say that it means that it's not even allowed to be erased. But all of the major Rishonim say not like that. Kodesh, it means it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense of Shir Lemisha Shalom Shalo, but it does not mean that it's an Isser, actually. It means it's like a getter of the kinuyim that we mentioned before that are erasable. So what it means actually is a reference to Shir Lemisha Shalom Shalo. There's only one case where it's referring specifically to Shlomo himself. Karmi Sheli Lefanai, Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo. So there it's separating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is saying, Karmi Sheli Lefanai, and Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, Shlomo Lididei. So that is a reference to you, Shlomo the king, Umatayim Lenotrim Et Piryo. And that is a reference to who are the ones who are Shemer the Peres of Klal Yisrael. That's talking about the Rabbanan. So this is very nogeo over here, because what that means is that karmi, meaning Klal Yisrael, is lefanai, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what that means, that you, 200 of them, are for Shemrim. So for every 1,000 that you take into your army, you have to leave 200 in the Beis HaMedrash to be learning Torah. So since this pasuk comes out today, on the very day that Richie's son-in-law is discussing this issue, he should bring it to his attention that we have actually a specific relationship about the number of people that should be learning compared to the number of people that are actually enlisted, right? Yeah, you got that, Rich? So make sure that you tell Yossi this Gemara today. Very important Gemara. Okay. The Yeshomrim know that the pasuk that says Hinei mitato shel Shlomo shishim giborim saviva, and this is mipachad balelot, that's got to be referring not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously shishim giborim pachad balelot. So they are saying af ze chol. Now mashman that they agree that the first one was chol, and this one is also chol. So that would mean that when it said, in, according to this, when they say Karmi Sheli, that's referring to the Shlomo himself. When they say Avze, so in other words, this one too, and certainly the other one, Lo Mi Boy Hech, so for sure the other one is considered to be Chol. So then what did Shmuel mean? Shmuel said, Malchuta de Katlachat Mishita Be'ama Lo Mi Ansha. So if you have a government that ends up taking 1/6 of the population and wiping them out in war, they're not going to be punished for that. 1/6 is okay. And how is he medayik that? He's medayik that from the pasuk of Karmi Sheli Lefanai, Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo. So he's learning Karmi Sheli Lefanai, the Elef Lecha Shlomo is referring to Hamelech Shalom Shalo. That's Malchus HaDerakia. So 1,000, that goes to the Malchus HaDerakia. Umatayim Lenotrim Et Piryo, that goes for Malchut HaDeyara, which means that if out of 1,200, the Elef plus the 200, the government takes only the 200 for the people down there on earth, that is okay. But they are not allowed to endanger more than that 1/6, right? So obviously he's learning that the Melech Shlomo in that case is actually Kodesh. How could Shmuel say that? That means that Shmuel's arguing with everybody. He's arguing with the Tanakama. He's arguing with the Yesh Omrim. So how could Shmuel argue with all of the Tanaim? They all agreed, because it said even Af. So they all agreed that the first one is not considered to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was talking of Shlomo El Flecha, the Karmi Sheli. So therefore, we have to change how we understood that bright al-Hachikoma. The Yesh Omrim, not Af, but Ze Kodesh, Davka, this one is Kodesh, and not the other one is Kodesh. So it means that the specifically, we disagree with the Tanakama, who says that the one here is Chol, and Yesh Omrim, that Af, it is also Kodesh, means Af ze, like the other Shlomos that are considered to be Kodesh. And Shmuel was going like the Yesh Omrim, according to this. But it is Kodesh. Now, how about the Lashon of Melech that we find in Sefer Daniel? There's a lot of Melechs that are addressed by Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. But there's one Melech there that's Kodesh. And what is that? Ant Malka, you king, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Malchaya di Elah Shemaya Malchuta Chisna V'takva V'yikara Yahavlach. So the real king, the Melech Malchaya, the king of kings, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Elah Shemaya, he is the real Elohim in the Shemayim, he granted you a very powerful Malchus and lots of Kovod, and there it's a reference to Melech Malchaya, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the way to read the Pasuk is, Ant Malka, who gave to you this Malchus? Melech Malchaya di Elah Shemaya. And some say that the Pasuk, in which he addresses after the terrible dream that is driving Nebuchadnezzar crazy, and he asks for the interpretation of the dream, and the dream is a horrific nightmare. So Daniel says, Mori, oh, my master, this dream should only fall upon your enemies. And the way I'm going to interpret it over here is meant, in my mind, to befall your foes. So he says, Mari, that is not referring to Nebuchadnezzar. It's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I don't know. What do you think? That Daniel would tell the greatest enemy of the Jews, Nebuchadnezzar, that his horrible nightmare should befall his foes. But his foes are Klal Yisrael. Is Daniel going to say, Chas v'shalom, such a thing? Because Laman Ka'amar, Isak Ataitach Nebuchadnezzar Ka'amar. What do you think? That Daniel was talking to Nebuchadnezzar when he calls him my master. So who would be your enemy? Sanusim Ainiyo Yisrael? You're telling me that Daniel was cursing Yisrael? Milat Kalayat Yisrael? So it's clearly, he was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mar'i, may this dream of this idiot Nebuchadnezzar be chal on the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning on Nebuchadnezzar. Masha Inkin, the Tanna Kamma, says, no, that doesn't persuade me. He says, on your enemies. He doesn't say, what enemies? You know, Nebuchadnezzar was probably the most hated man in the world, right? So he's saying, the enemies, it's got to be his Jewish enemies. Sonei Yisraelika, Sonei Ovdei Kochavim Leka. It's referring to his enemies. Yes, our dear Handy, who has raised his holy hand.
Okay, we're still talking about Shemot Radat Nim Chakim, or are we just trying to figure out what the references are?
No, these would all have a din of Kinuyim, unless it's actually the first one that we said in Daniel, which is a real Elohe Shemaya, uses the real Lashon. This Mar'i is a Kinuy. So therefore, okay, so therefore the Tanna Kamma holds that it could even be understood as a direct reference to the enemies of Nebuchadnezzar, but not to Yisrael. Okay, then we go on to say in the Mishnah that if the Shvua, that this, by the way, you may have noticed that this daf is the equivalent of the length of five normal dapim, so I hope you're not upset that we're going, I think we're doing pretty good speed-wise, because this is like, whoa, okay. So next thing it says in the Mishnah is that if the Edim used any of the Kinuyim in their Shvua, they would be Chayav a Shvuas Edus. For Amini, the Braita says, specifically not like that. Braita says, Yitin Hashem Otach la'alav l'shvua. Now this is this week's parasha, right? In which the Kohen is saying to the Sota, Allah v'shvua. So what's the point of saying Allah v'shvua? It said at the beginning of the Pasuk, V'yishbia ha-kohen et ha-isha v'shvua ta'Allah. Isn't that enough? Why does the end of the Pasuk repeat, V'yamar ha-kohen li-isha yitein Hashem otach la'Allah v'shvua betoch hamech, etc., etc.? All you need to say is yitein Hashem otach la'Allah v'shvua betet Hashem et yirechech nofelet v'et b'tnech tzava. You're not adding anything by saying Le'alav l'shvua again. This was called the Shvua Ta'ala. So Alok Kvar Ne'amar V'yishbi HaKohen Et HaIsha B'Shvua Ta'ala. This Allah is here to teach me the din of Shavuos HaEdus. So until we get to Parshas Naso, we really don't know what was meant by the Shavuot HaAlah. Now we know. Ne'amar Kan, here in Parshas Naso, it says about the Sota, Le'Allah v'le'Shavua. V'ne'amar Lahalan, meaning, even though Lahalan means later, but that's always, you know, we mean before in this case, in the din of Shavuos HaEdus, Allah. So just like over here by Sota, it's referring to Allah, Shvuata Allah. So it means that it's a actual Lashon of a Shvua, and that would mean it has to be said b'shem, which it says specifically over here, Yitain Hashem Yutke Vavke Otach. So Af Lahalan, so too by the din of Shvuos HaEdus, when it said that Kol Allah, it's a reference to an Allah, which is a Shvua, that was made with the Shem Hashem. So, Af Lahalan, by Shvuos HaEdus, B'Shem Hashem. But the Mishnah said not like that. The Mishnah said that even a Kinui is enough to be Mechayev you. Omer Abaye Lo Kashya, the Braita that says that you need the actual Shem Yutke Vofke that we learn out from Sota, that's going Aliba the Rebbe Chanina Baridi. Hashenke, the Mishnah that says you can use even a kinui, that's going according to the Rabbanan, the Tanya. Rabbi Chanina Baridi Amar, Ho'il va'amra Torah, Hishava v'al tishava. Look, there's places where the Torah says you must make a shvua, right? Tishma b'shmi, or shvua sashem tiyeh b'nei. And there's places where the Torah says, lo tishavu b'shmi l'shaker. Or Lotisar Shema Hashem Elokech. There's places where it says, do swear, and there's places where it says, don't swear. Or there's places where the Torah says, Kalel. So we were told, Beferish, here by the Sota, for instance, that the Kohen is supposed to be Mikalel. And then there's other places where it says, Beferish, that Elohim Lotikalel. So just like when it says, do swear. So we know it says, Beferish, do swear. Shvuat Hashem tiyeh ben shneihem. Do swear using the shvua with the Shem Hashem. So therefore, when it says, don't swear b'sheker, it's talking about lo tishava, is talking about also b'shem. So then that means, according to Rabbi Chanina Bar Yidi, all of the chiyuvin that we have of shvua is only if you use the Shem Hashem. So the Braita that says you need the actual Shem Hashem, that's based on learning it out of the pasuk where it says Shvuat Hashem yutke vavke. That's going on Libra Rebbe Chanina Barini. In our Mishnah, that doesn't need Dafka the Shema Meyuchad, but can use maybe not Kinuyim, but any of the other Shemot, that doesn't agree with Rebbe Chanina Barini. And let's move on. It continues the Braita. Ma Kalel B'Shem, same thing is true. When the Torah says, do be Mikalel, it uses the Shem Hashem. Yitain Hashem otach la'alav l'shvua. So then when the Torah asks, do not be mikalel, it means the same type of klala that was mentioned where you are supposed to be mikalel. So avlo tikalel is b'shem. So how do you explain the chachomim who say that even without the Shem yutke vavke, you would still be chayim? How did the Rabbanan explain this psukim? Rabbanan, mamanavshah. If they held that this Gezeirah Shava exists, that the Nemar Kan Allah by Parshas Sota and Nemar Lahalan Allah by Shavuos HaEdus, if that Gezeirah Shava, remember, a person isn't Gomer Gezeirah Shava on his own, but if they were Mekabel this Gezeirah Shava, so then they should need Dafka Shema Miyuchad. And if they don't have the Gezeirah Shava, how did they even know that when the Torah says Vishama kol Allah, that it means a shvua? Where does it say that Allah is a shvua other than by the shvuata Allah of Sota in this week's parasha? So, where's the consistency over here? Answers the Gemara, Nafkeluhu. They learned the halacha that Allah is a shvua from this bright, I mean, Tanya. Allah, when the Torah says kol Allah, Ein Allah el lashon shvua by definition, says the Braita. V'chein hu omer, v'shbi'a kohen et ha'isha, b'shvua ta'ala. So they say the lashon itself, without a gzeirah shavah, the lashon itself of Allah is used in the context of shvuah. No, excuse me. It doesn't say Allah over there. It says shvuat Allah. Where do you know that Allah itself means a shvuah? Okay, you're right. We misunderstood. We shouldn't have opened with the words Allah ain Allah Ella. What the Brisa is trying to say is that the Allah that's over here, Ashvuas Ha'edus, is Hachikama. Allah, the Gabi, this then, is only if there is a Shvuah. V'chenu Omer, V'yishbiya Kohenet Aisha B'Shvuat Ha'Allah. So then that means there would need to be a Shvuah. But how do we know, like you said, that there's even a shvuah without an Allah? I mean, because after all, shvuat ha'edut, we never said it's mechuyev to have an Allah with it. So minayin la'asot shvuah she'ein ima ila Allah, to be the equivalent of a shvuah she'yesh ima Allah? Because when it says here, v'shama kol Allah, why do you think it says kol? Why not just say v'shama Allah? So the kol Allah is obviously saying either a kol or an Allah. That's the point. So you could be either v'shama Allah, or you could be shomea the kol without the Allah, and that is the kol of the shavuah. To be continued, whew, tomorrow. Wow. I'm grateful to have been able to get through these five dapim today. Already, I really was afraid we'd have to stop in the middle, but we just managed. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day. And don't forget, it is still the Yemei HaTashlumim Shel Shavuos, so we have a lot more to discuss, perhaps. So see you soon. Kol Tov, everyone.